Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. We will have Predators head coach Andrew Brunette coming up here in just over 10 minutes. At 8:15, so looking forward to that conversation with him. Joe, speaking of Brunette, you know, he talked the other day about, you know, kind of diving into the film this week and going over things with the coaching staff about some adjustments that they can make. As you pointed out in the last segment, at forward particularly, there are not very many differences in their roster from last year to this year. Colton Sissons is out. Eric Halla is in. And other than that, there ain't a whole lot of difference between last year's team and this year's team when everybody's healthy when it comes to the forward group. So with that all in mind, how do you view the job in front of Andrew Brunette this year, barring a move right now that we just can't predict via trade? Barring that changes the math on their forward group especially. How do you view the job in front of Andrew Brunette? And what leads to the biggest turnaround here? Is it something that he can tweak from an X's and O's standpoint? Is it mentality, which Barry Trotz has talked an awful lot about this offseason? Is it a combination of the two? How do you view the job in front of Andrew Brunette as we sit here on July 3rd with the roster as constructed?
It's a great question. I don't know. You know, I mean, there's a lot of talk about system. I think we both agree, and we've talked about a lot. System can be overrated. But at the same time, it's not nothing here. System has been a lot of conversation, been a conversation with players. We have talked about the system a lot. I guess I'm trying to think of the best way to put it. You know, it can be difficult to execute exactly what he's looking for and what they're trying to get done with it. And it seems to be frustrating at times to some, and it does seem to take some time. But I mean, does that mean, and this is a question for him, but are you considering serious changes there? Are there serious tactical changes? Or, you know, is it more, yeah, like the intangibles, whether it's mindset, culture,
yeah,
the word that everybody uses, you know, just really like trying to foster just a more cohesive, team. I mean, that is, of course, you're playing within the system, but like, is there something lacking there? Was there something lacking last year in terms of, and I'm not even saying like, you know, guys not getting along, but just like chemistry on the ice, things like that? Or is it as simple as, you know, they just had some guys last year, too many, who just weren't good enough, didn't play well enough? And I'm just really interested in just how he's looking at the process of trying to turn things around.
Same. I mean, I keep going back to the Steven Stamkos interview at the end of the year, which I've done 1,000 times, and I guess according to me, it's like the greatest interview ever done. But Steven Stamkos at the end of the year talked about a lot of things, and one of the things he did talk about was the system. And he brought up, like, you know, the system talk, basically, you know, to paraphrase what he said, system talk kind of gets overrated, is what he said. He said, you know, there are some adjustments and some tweaks that you can make within a system. But the overall system itself, he talked about, like, you know, it took a while for him to learn some different things in the defensive zone more than the offensive zone, which I don't think people connect the dots on that a whole lot. I think a lot of what they tried to tweak last year in the middle of it was defensive zone stuff that hopefully leads to more offensive zone time. But Stamkos talked about that. You know, the offensive zone, yes, system is important, but a lot of offensive zone play specifically when you've got the puck is a whole lot of read and react. Like, there's a lot of reading and reacting that has to go on out there, and you got to get to the right spots, and frankly, you got to be in good spots where you know where the puck is going to be and anticipate where that's going.
All those things. You have to be able to get to spots.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all that goes into it. So I think we probably overblow that part of it a little bit. But to that point, you know, obviously – they had some pretty frank conversations at the end of last year. We always think about Marchessault. I'm sure Stamkos, in a non-media setting, had some specific thoughts on what he thought needed to change heading into this year. So As Andrew Brunette and Barry Trotz have digested all of that, how much different is their plan of attack going to look? Because I do think some of this has to be tactical. Like, you look at the way their roster is constructed with their lack of depth at center, they're going to have to do some things to generate some speed coming off the wing. Like, you want a lot of times you want your speed to come up the middle. And I think Svechkov has got a chance to be that guy. But other than that, like, O'Reilly's not giving you a lot of speed up the middle. Hall at this stage of his career is probably not giving you a ton of speed up the middle. And McCarron, it's not his job, is to give you speed up the middle. So you've got to have to find a way to generate some of that off the rush. And are they equipped to do that? Like, I think some people think Stamkos is like some slow pawpaw out there. Go look at the NHL edge stats. He's pretty fast still for his age. So there are different ways to do it. I'm interested to see what that looks like by the time Andrew Brunette and this team come to camp. But clearly Barry Trotz thinks a lot of this is intangible. Like, he clearly thinks a lot of this is mentality and buy-in and a lot of things that he talked about at the end of last year.
Yeah, and see, that's where – so Andrew Brunette coached the year before when, again, things weren't going all that well early. It wasn't all that surprising. The expectations for that team were low. They catch fire. There is a lot of system talk within that. It seemed like there was at least some, oh, now I get it, right, as part of that 18-game point streak. But mentality is pretty good, I thought, with that crew, right? I mean, it's like mentality, you know, Barry Trotz just drafted a guy and people are, again, some people think he's just a goon, and he's not. He's a good player. But mentality is, I'm bringing in a guy who's more physical, who can do straight line things, right?
Yeah.
I'm changing the decor to get bigger and stronger. Isn't that, like, how do you have the mentality if you can't physically do some of those things?
Sure, it's a great question. I think that's part of it, too. Like, I think part of what they're talking about right now with mentality, and Barry Trotz brought that word up again the other day, I think right now he wants their mentality to be defend your butt off and then let the offense take care of itself after that. But, you know, even Brunette the other day said, you know, he thinks maybe there was a little bit of they thought they were going to just play fire wagon hockey last year and just outscore everybody, and it became quickly apparent that that was not going to be the case, and they weren't equipped to play the way defensively they need to play. Maybe it is as simple as that, and that's a lot better this year. We'll see what that looks like, but let's find out from the man himself. Andrew Brunette is going to join us coming up next here on the program. We'll get to all things Nashville Predators with him and take a look at the offseason changes and his approach to next year coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. We've been talking Preds all week. It's been a busy week. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators head coach Andrew Brunette. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. Doing good.
How's summer going for you so far?
Well, it's been I did the World Championship, so it's kind of been busy. So that was about a month. And then obviously came back and kind of right back into the off-season free agency draft, et cetera, kind of getting organized. So I'm looking for the offseason after this week and take some time.
So, Andrew, to that point, I mean, you guys have had a busy week with the draft development camp going on and some additions on the back end. And I think fans look at it and they say, all right, Nick Perbix is 6'4". Nick Hague is 6'6". They're huge. Awesome. That's cool. From your standpoint, from a tactical standpoint, what does that do for you? What is adding that size allow you to do? What's that mean for your defense core as you guys are clearly trying to get a little bit bigger on the back end?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the size, it probably allows us to make a few tweaks and adjustments in our D zone and kind of help juice out a little bit, maybe seeing some more pucks, you know, and they're both mobile guys too. So we're not losing a whole lot of mobility there with the size. But I think obviously last year, everything, you know, probably with the injuries and et cetera, you know, we had to make some adjustments being a smaller back end and probably didn't help with juice as much as we'd have liked to. So this gives us an opportunity to maybe let him see a few more pucks, We'll tweak a few things in our D-zone coverage and hopefully get him back to being the superstar goalie he is.
So, Andrew, obviously Brady Martin coming in, you know, we look at the center depth and I would look at it and say maybe he might have an opportunity, but I know you don't want to put too much on a kid who just got drafted who's his age. But how do you look at the center position and I guess his potential opportunity here when camp gets going?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't want to put too much pressure on him. Obviously, we're extremely excited to have him, and the profile through the middle of the ice, I think, is, you know, something that we're lacking a little bit. But I think organizationally, depth-wise, they're starting to come. You know, we saw Svechkov last year. We have Edstrom, a young kid that we picked up in the Askarov trade. He looks really good. You got a young kid like Nielsen that we drafted a couple years ago. He's starting to come. So I think with Brady, you know, bringing him in, have a camp. He'll dictate, you know, where he's at. No expectations on him at all. We want him to grow and be the player that he can be. So we're excited to have him. But again, a lot of the, you know, with all the kids, we'll see what happens at camp. And he'll kind of let us know where he's at. And we're not expecting anything, but we're excited for the profile of the player that we selected.
Well, Andrew, you talked with us last year about Svechkov and the speed that he's able to generate coming through the middle of the ice there. And I know Barry has talked about him playing in the NHL maybe a little bit sooner than he had hoped for last year. But as you evaluate that and you look at where he left off last year and the opportunity now in front of him, how beneficial do you think that will be for Svechkov? And what do you make of now the opportunity that's in front of him at center ice this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're excited about the player for sure. You know, I think the ebbs and flows of a young player, you know, if you look at last year, I thought he came up and earlier in the year, I thought he played really good for a few games and he kind of tailed off and he went back down to Milwaukee and played really well, you know, to get back up. And then when he got back up here, I thought he played really, you know, through the second half, we saw the maturity and the growth of the player. So this will be a new year. And then you're always a little cognizant that, you know, obviously, 1 year, how he comes into camp and how he prepares himself this summer. And again, that'll dictate, you know, where he slides into our depth chart. Is he a second line or is he going to be a third line center? So I think for him, he's going to have a big summer and a big camp and he'll let us know where he's at. But we're excited about the player. These are kind of, when you got young players, like I said, the ebbs and flows and the growth periods that they have, this camp will be big for him. We saw, you know, say Evangelista had a great, you know, really good first year at 17, 18 goals. And, you know, a lot of different factors that fell into it, but he came in last year and was a little bit slow to the gate. So with Svets, we hope he comes back ready to take that job. And that's going to be instrumental for our team going forward.
Talking to Preds coach Andrew Brunette. So Barry Trotz referred to, I guess he said the word projects, Andrew, in terms of for you looking at things, I guess self-scouting. I know you're going through the film. As you look big picture at the things you want to change, are we talking tactical, intangible? If we're talking like mindset and culture, things like that, like how are you going about that? How do you view that with this team right now?
Well, right now I think we're probably with all the coaches here, just a little bit of the tactical things. And we touched on a little bit with Juice and our back end, just, you know, changing the dynamics of what's back there. Which allows you to tactically move things around, you know, a little bit like the dynamics we had last year with the smaller defenseman. Tactically, we tried to move things around so we were able to, you know, get the best of what you have. And so I think you're always, as a coach, always looking at, you know, really the DNA of your team. What do you have? And that kind of dictates a little bit, you know, sort of how you're going to play or how you want to play without losing your philosophy, how you believe the game should be played. So there's always those little bit of adjustments, little bit of tweaks. You said intangibles, you know, a lot of it depends roster-wise. We're probably going to have some younger kids. They're going to be hungry. So there's going to be a lot of teaching, a lot of growing there with them. But kind of staying the foundation of who we are and the culture. And I know our record, you know, wasn't very good last year, but I still believe the culture in the group is still strong. You know, I still think we didn't get that identity. I think we talked, I don't know, Robbie, how many times last year like we're, you know, we just really couldn't grab that identity.
Yep.
It was there. It showed it for a period or showed it. You know, I don't know how many times I said that last year, but we really couldn't get any sustained identity where we, you know, put 10 games together that, hey, that's the Nashville Predators. So that's going to be our focus going into the year. We have to build that identity. Is it the identity that it was a couple years ago when we had that relentless kind of mentality? We'd love to get back there, but we are going to have to put the work in to get back there, and we might have to tweak a few things to allow us. Maybe it's a different kind of identity, but into that kind of same mold of where everybody's buying in, and that's going to be so important. And that's where we're at right now as coaches, and we're trying to build that identity, find that identity, what we have. Now, again, it's to the players to really define it, but we're trying to give them their best opportunity to define it.
Andrew, what were your conversations like with guys like Marchessault and Stamkos and trying to get the best versions of those guys this year? You talked the other day about, you know, how difficult last year was, maybe from a mentality standpoint with those two. Of, you know, obviously Stamkos has been around Tampa forever, a lot of success. Same thing with Marchessault in Vegas to a lesser degree. But when you look at those two specifically, where do you feel like those two guys are, and what have your conversations been like this offseason with those two?
Well, I think they didn't like what happened last year either, and they got a lot of pride. And I think they're going to come back with it. You know, our conversations are a little bit chip on our shoulder, a little bit of a, hey, we're going to show you. I think they're excited. They feel this is a little bit more their team. You know, we talked about that a little bit last year where it was hard because I think you're coming in and you know, you still think of your team as Tampa or Vegas because you've been there so long and you've, you know, that's all you've known your whole life. So it was going to take time. And I think we're all pretty aware that was going to take time. And I think now it's turned the page. This is my team. And I thought as the season went on, especially with Stammer, he took a lot more ownership of the team. So I think he's going to come back. He's going to be hungry. Both guys are going to want to show that, hey, last year, you know, we got a chip on our shoulder. We're going to be better. That's not who we are. That's not going to define us. And they've been great players, and they've done that their whole career. So we expect, and I think they expect, they're going to come back and give us their best versions of themselves.
You mentioned earlier, Andrew, you know, tactically, defensively, trying to, you know, help UC Saros see the puck better, things like that. Obviously, a lot of discussion about him, big contract kicking in. The numbers weren't good last year, and I know we talked about it last year. That you thought the numbers maybe didn't necessarily reflect how he was playing. But do you want to see him change in any way? Even like in the offseason, there's something like, hey, maybe put on some weight or whatever it may be to prepare himself for next year. Where do you think he is just in terms of mindset and physically going into next year?
Well, Juice is he's a perfectionist and is the reason where he's at. I think for him, I just want him to take a breath and reset and, you know, come back. We did not help him last year, I thought, especially down that last 40 games or so where, you know, obviously we had a lot of injuries and a lot of moving parts, and he battled his butt off the whole time. He's highly competitive, and we didn't help him. So you didn't feel that way. And you know, I think he went to the World Championships. He went with Finland. We played against him. I thought he played exceptional against us, kind of won the game. And so I think he's excited that last year's over, and he's looking forward to this year coming in and just breathe with Juice. I think he puts so much pressure on himself that we have to be better around him, and that's kind of our conversations. We're going to work to be better in front of him and let him do his thing.
Andrew, last thing here for you. You know, just curious, what have the last few months been like from you personally? You know, I think back to the press conference at the end of the year last year, and you at that time didn't know what your future was going to look like, what the job status was. We obviously do now, and you guys have worked through all that. So how did handling all that at the end of last year, how did you do that, and where do you think you are with all that right now?
Yeah, I think I'm the same. I don't think it's, I've been in this game for so long that you understand, and you move teams, and it's things happen. So I wasn't overly concerned about, whatever would happen, would happen. I was just trying to be better and to be a better coach. And so I've been reading a lot. I've been thinking a lot. I've been, there's things that definitely could have did better. There's things I thought, I was proud of how I handled a lot of different things. So I think you self-assess a little bit and you grow. And I think my mindset's always been that. It's been that as a player. What could I be better at? What could I do differently? How do I find ways to get ourselves back to where we need to be? And that was even as a player individually. You kind of have a little bit of that time to self-reflect. You have a good look at what you did, and you're honest with yourself, and then you go to work. And, you know, I'm at the point now where I'm going to work, and I felt, like I said, there's things I could have did a little differently. Absolutely. I think every coach, but I'm growing. I'm growing as a coach. So whatever the next challenge is, I'm a little bit better prepared for it. And that's been my mindset as a player. Again, like I said, and this is my mindset as a coach. I have to find a way to get a little bit better. And to me, that's the joy. The joy is in finding ways. And we're working at it right now. And for the next rest of the summer, I know how my brain works. It's unfortunately, it'll be every day looking at a way, you know, obviously with the scoring and things like that. So it's, there's things, and I'm excited about it, but I don't think I've, you know, I've been around long enough to understand where it's at. And, you know, in this game, it's a great game, and I'm ready to move forward.
Well, Andrew, we appreciate so much you taking time to be with us. Have fun at the rest of development camp here this week, and then before you know it, we'll be back in training camp. So have a good summer, and we'll talk to you soon.
You guys too. Happy 4th. Enjoy.
Absolutely. You as well. Andrew Brunette, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroll. We'll react to what Andrew Brunette had to say. Take your thoughts. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rexroll, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Sounds take on Memphis. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Also this Wednesday, come out to Brewhouse South in Cool Springs and meet Nashville native, two-time IndyCar champion, Joseph Newgarden, from 5:30 to 7 o'clock. Big Joe is going to be on site for a special broadcast of Chasing Checkers from 6 to 7. So get out to Brewhouse South this Wednesday and meet Joseph Newgarden. Get signed up to win tickets to the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix. Joseph Newgarden, also Hendersonville native.
That's right.
A lot of Hendersonville natives rocking around being very successful.
Yes.
Newgarden. T-Swift is not a native to Hendersonville, but a former resident of Hendersonville. Great town.
Yeah, that's a pretty good That's a pretty good tandem right there.
Pretty good.
I'm not saying a couple.
Correct.
Yeah.
Don't want to make anybody mad in this town.
Yeah. And then there's you.
And then there's me.
Who has not contributed to T-Swift's music.
I have. No doubt about that. What did you make of Andrew Brunette in the last segment? I thought a couple things really interesting there, both on the tactical front of defense and what they may be looking to change here. And some things that they're going to try to move around. And also, like, that last answer he gave about kind of his approach to, you know, not knowing exactly what was going to happen with him and the job and how he's handled all that was very interesting in the last segment.
Yeah. No, I thought that was a very interesting answer. And, you know, no question. First of all, I believe when he says he's been in the league forever. I mean, everybody who's in this league knows what it is.
Yeah.
Coaches are the first ones to go, and they are. It does not take long at all to be a coach in jeopardy in this league. But really interesting stuff about, you know, trying to get better and reading, thinking, all that stuff. Still, we still don't have like specifics on like the project.
He's probably not going to share that.
No, but yeah, you know, really interesting stuff. And I thought the Soros answer, you know, the Soros needs to breathe, and Soros, the competitiveness has been talked about. The you're putting a lot of pressure on himself was an interesting answer too. You know, I mean, Soros is just any success moving forward for Brunette and this team.
Yeah.
I think next year, if we're talking about success, we're talking about UC Soros as one of the comeback stories of the year, whether you believe that he individually needs to do that with his performance or not. The numbers, the success rate is going to have to be dramatically different.
Well, you heard Brunette say it there. He said they want to get Soros back to his old self. Like that's what he said. Like they want to get him back. Now, some of that is the help around him, but I think some of that is also like he's got to, like, Soros, regardless of how you view this. Like, Soros has got to challenge himself this summer to be like, all right, like, I need to find a way to get at the top of my game more often than I have the last couple of years. Look, nobody's asking him, and I'm certainly not asking him to be at the tippy top of his game for 82 games next year in the regular season. It's impossible to do that in the NHL, and you're going to have natural peaks and valleys as a goaltender. I think regardless of whatever excuse you want to make, But you can look back 2 years ago at the start of the year, the first half of the season, and you could point to new system, new coach, new defense around, all these things. But he struggled the first half of the season 2 years ago. His numbers were not good, and he did not play well. Last year, certainly, as Brunette pointed out, the defense around him, particularly at the end, when it was Yossi out of the lineup and they were calling up a bunch of guys from Milwaukee and they picked up Osterley and Englund off waivers, like it was a ragtag defense core at the end of last year. But even before that, he wasn't playing great. Like he wasn't, like even when Roman Yossi was in the lineup, Saros wasn't playing great. So again, I have no doubt if you improve the defense around him, his numbers will get better. But he also needs to be at the top of his game and find a way to sustain that more often than he has the last couple of years.
Yeah, no question. It's just, I just don't think there's been anything unfair.
No,
it's just,
I don't either.
It's the hockey teams, coaches, players, teammates, always very protective of the goalie.
Well, let me say this too. I know a lot of Predators fans don't want to hear this because of how bad last year was. And as you said, the coach is the first one to take the blame, and I get it. And I've said this many times. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again today. In most organizations, with the expectations being what they were for that group last year and the performance being what it was, the coach would have been fired. So I fully stand by all that. I also have an open mind heading into this year for Brunette to see if he can fix it. I know a lot of Predators fans don't want to hear that, but I've been very consistent on this, and I will say it again. I think Andrew Brunette's a good coach. Like, his track record to get to this point, and frankly, his track record in 2 of 3 years as a head coach is pretty good. Now, last year was very bad, and I think it's a fair question to ask, okay, you think he's a good coach, that's great. Is he the right coach for this team? I don't know. I think we're going to begin to find out some more of that this year. But I have an open mind for everything he just talks about of like, all right, show me. Show me some answers. Show me you could come up with some tactical things to fix this. Show me, maybe more than anything, that your messaging can get through to these guys to get them to buy in next year. Because I think one of the criticisms from Predators fans at the end of last year, which was fair, was, you know, Barry Trotz kept talking about buy-in. And Andrew Brunette talked about buy-in. It's like, well, your job is to get them to buy in.
Yeah.
So I want to see that from the jump this year. Whatever tactical adjustments you make, whatever way you want to play, identity he just talked about, whatever you decide that needs to be, get your guys to buy into it. And I have an open mind to see whether or not he can do that this year. And I know a lot of Predators fans just say, yeah, screw that. Play 10 games, fire him, and then let's move on. And I'm not going to approach it that way.
Yeah. When you change a roster as little, relatively speaking, as little as they have, then that, like, the coaching, I mean, the coaching is important. It matters. But I mean, that's where we're looking, right? Like, okay, yeah. So how can you change it? Someone on the text line says, I'd be nice if you'd explain what identity is. I actually was going to follow up with that with, you know, define identity for us. But then he kept talking through it, you know. I mean, to me, I take that as, like, is this a together tough team? I mean, identity players, I've never heard an identity player, anyone called an identity player other than someone who hits the crap out of people.
Yeah, but I mean, I would say, like, 2 years ago, as they came together as a team, and as they went down that stretch and they went into the playoffs, like, I think it was pretty easy to identify what their identity was. Like, they were a team that was just going to come after you nonstop, and they weren't necessarily more talented than most teams, but they just were all over you. Like, their forecheck was all over you, and they were hitting everything that moves, you know, more than just Lozon, who, like, broke the NHL record for hits that year, but they were hitting everything that moves. They were all over you, and that was the way that they knew they had to play the game. It was just at a high speed, and I just don't feel like they ever got to anything last year. Like, you couldn't point to one thing last year and say, well, that's how you define this team. So, like, people wanting to know what the identity is, I don't know that Andrew Brunette knows that right now. But I think you have to formulate, when you're looking at the roster and the moves that you've made, like, it kind of sounds to me like, with some of the things he said and what Trotz has talked about, that their identity is going to be more of like a hard-nosed, physical defensive team this year, and hoping that if you take care of your own end, that opens up more things offensively. Now, it's a completely different question as to whether or not that's going to work, but I think that's what they're looking to be this year.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think also that, like, identity, you know, I think that last year you bring in these guys. You asked about Marchessault and Stamkos. You bring in guys who have been successful elsewhere. You think about offense, and maybe I guess it can be interchanged with mindset, right? Which is kind of what you just said, but it's like, okay, let's not worry about we can go out here and put five on anybody any night, which of course they didn't do at all, but right. That was the idea. Maybe that was the mindset. Maybe that's what they thought they were going to be. And I think now they know, like, that's just not reality.
Yeah. I think there's a collective thought, certainly from Brunette and Trotz, and, you know, maybe even from the players. I think there was a thought that they thought it was going to be way easier than it was last year. And before they when they figured out that it wasn't going to be, they were chasing a moving train and they never figured it out. Now, I know if you're a Predators fan, you hear that and you're like, well, good Lord, it's an 82-game season, right? And you started 0-5.
Well,
how could you not figure it out before that? And I hear that. That's fair. But, you know, they talked about chips on their shoulder, and we'll see. I've got an open mind to see how much better they're going to be. I look at their roster, and there are just some natural limitations that I think they've got, particularly at center. It's going to make it real hard for them to be a team that is back in the playoff mix and is a legitimate threat in the playoffs. I think that's going to be really hard based on where their center depth is right now.
If it happens, then I know who the coach of the year is in the NHL.
No, exactly.
Next year. Right?
Like, yeah. Like, he will be in that conversation. 615-737-1025, our phone number. If you're a Predators fan that has been nervous and or disappointed in the Nick Hague deal/contract, I got something for you coming up next that may make you feel better. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Got some tickets to give away to see Ghost at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, July 26th. Big caller 5, 615-737-1025. Nick Hague to the Predators this week. And if you're looking for some good news on the Nick Hague front, we got some for you. Elliot Friedman was on with DVD yesterday for his weekly hit, and talked about Nick Hague and the interest around the league in him and how the Predators ended up winning out. Apparently, heavy interest in Nick Hague. Here's what Elliot Friedman had to say yesterday on DVD.
There was an awful lot. And, you know, there were a lot of teams that knew that Nick Hague was going to be available. And because Vegas, you know, Kelly McCrimmon talked a bit yesterday after they signed Marner, he told a bunch of guys they weren't getting traded. He told William Karlsson they weren't getting traded. He told Thomas Hertl he wasn't getting traded. There was one more, I think. There was one more forward that he told was not getting traded. And so you look down your roster, and you're suddenly saying, okay, well, somebody's got to get traded for this to work. Who's it going to be? And it came down to Nick Waugh and Nick Hague. And I'll say this. I think there was a lot of interest in Hague. And I think one of the things that happened was that Nick Hague could have gone to Calgary. Because the guy that Vegas really wanted was Rasmus Anderson, who was the Calgary Flame defenseman, the right-hand shot. But they couldn't work out a trade. And I think if Nick Hague had indicated he was willing to sign long-term in Calgary, then he would be there. I think it's possible there were other teams. I haven't confirmed this, Adam, but I've heard from other teams that it was indicated to them that Nick Hague probably wasn't going to sign there long-term either. So I think in some ways it's a real feather in Nashville's cap that he was willing to do it, because he was a year away from unrestricted free agency and he had options. And I believe he indicated to some other places he would go there for a year, but no guarantees. But obviously that wasn't the case with Nashville. He was willing to sign long-term there.
So that was Elliot Friedman yesterday. And if you listen to that, he's talking about how there's heavy interest in Nick Hague around the league. He said at a later part of that interview that, you know, some people may have been shocked at the price, but if you wanted Nick Hague, that's what it was going to take. Like, so if you're a Predators fan thinking that they're on some island here for Nick Hague, according to Elliot Friedman, apparently they're not. So, Joe, what do you make of that?
I want to know. I want names. I want to know who. I want to know who else.
Well, we know at least Calgary.
Yeah, Calgary, yeah. No, I mean, it's that's very interesting. And this does happen sometimes where there's a player that, I mean, Nick Hague is, that's a name that's never left my mouth before this week, right? But there's a player that, okay, who's that? Look, it's a third pairing guy. Like, what is going on? But there's a different perception of that player from people in the league. There are players who are simply behind people. They don't have an opportunity to play in a bigger role sometimes. Sure. That happens. So, hey, I mean, look, I listen to that. I'm still skeptical. I'm still not super excited about the terms of the contract, but I feel a little bit better about it after listening to that.
I mean, it at least shows you that – and look, Elliot Friedman's not making stuff up. Like,
right.
You know, he's as good as anybody in terms of the information that he gets. So, I mean, clearly – there was a market for Nick Hague. And, you know, Elliot said in that interview, like, if you wanted Nick Hague, that was the contract you're going to have to give him. So, you know, if you're a Predators fan, I'm not telling you how to feel on the Nick Hague front because I share some of your concerns. But at least you know that it's not like Barry Trotz on some island out there is like, please, for the love of God, give me Nick Hague. We're going to play him in the top four, and I'm giving this contract, and nobody else is going to approach it.
Right, and like the rest of the league was like, oh my God, what is he thinking? So apparently, yeah, not on an island. Justin from Greenbriars, Jander Burnett, the right coach for this team. Is Barry Strauss constructed a team that can handle the speed he wants to play the game at? I hope he's the right coach. It's a long, this is one of those, I'm sorry that happened to you, or.
Congrats.
But he says, if this thing goes from clunker to lemon, we need to set that car on fire and start over. Yeah, it's a big question, obviously, yep. And you know, we know this. I need to read this. Do we have time? Okay.
Yeah, we got time.
Grigsby on the text line driven by WilsonCalyana.com says, Joe, I'm bowling in a parent kid league this summer. This week, my son and I needed to win the final game of the night. I'm the last to bowl at the game on the line. All night, someone's been playing Pearl Jam hits from 10 on the jukebox. And then when I go up to bowl, Creed comes on with Higher. We lost the game on a pocket 10. Hashtag Creed sucks. There we go. More evidence. Thank you. I actually was trying to not rip Creed, remember? But this was brought – Mark brought up Creed earlier, and now Grigsby has brought up Creed. I just want to point that out. But if you're going to bring him up, then we have to bring up the fact that they suck.
Rocks Road.
I hope Mark from Nashville was serious earlier when he has spoken to people connected with Creed and they're trying to get that up front of your house.
Who do you say is their roadie? Or
their manager, yeah.
His name's Bruno?
Bruno.
Is that true? Can we verify that?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I'm going to Google
it.
I trust Mark.
Matthew from Nashville.
Trust him to be brief. I need him to be briefer.
Matthew from Nashville says, what do we think of the smoky gray jerseys Tennessee just came out
with?
Yeah,
they're disgusting. And I don't mean that in a good way. They're ridiculous.
They're military themed, kind of.
But it's like you have dark gray tops.
You take a shot at the military? What are we doing?
No, I'm not taking a shot at the military. So you got dark gray jerseys and light gray pants? How is that military?
The fans don't like it.
With bright orange socks?
Yeah. Ugh. No, that really tells me all about the good old US of A and the military.
Look,
terrible alternative uniforms.
I'll never criticize the smoky gray uniforms, really for no other reason than I know how much Joe hates them, and it just brings me great joy to watch every year them come out with new ones and Joe just freak out. So, I like them. Sign me up. More smoky gray.
They're disgusting.
Get that black alternate jersey out there, too. Dark mode.
Yeah, the big candy corn. Candy corn jerseys.
Somebody says, I feel like I'm in Canada when I turn on this station. Let's hear about the axe throwing and log cutting contest, too. The constant hockey talk has been interminable.
Whoa!
It's like, well, I don't know if you know this, but we did see the NHL draft last week. NHL free agency. We do have a team here. And there's not a thing going on in the NFL right now. So I'm not really sure what you're looking for. You know, we actually can talk about different sports. I know that there's sometimes a lack of that around here, but we can actually speak about more sports than just one.
I suggest this texter get some poutine and calms down.
Yeah, very nicely done. Happy July 4th, everyone. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. We will be off tomorrow, so we will talk to you again on Monday. But stay safe out there. Have a great weekend, and we will see you Monday.
Fireworks end 11:59 p.m. Saturday night. Don't want to hear a single one on Sunday.
We'll see.
Happy 4th of July.
That's going to do it for us. Have a great weekend. The Chasing Big Joe Show coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
And I'm going to egg your house.